10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Konezvic, reporter Nick Keyser here with you. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your day. Got a lot to get into. The NFL Super Wild Card Weekend has wrapped up. Can't imagine what I'm going to bring up, but that has happened. And the
Predators
win last night. I know. So last night I'm with some people and I, you know, the Cowboys absolutely destroy the Bucs and Tom Brady, even with the kicker missing 4 extra points. Like I was ready to leave him in Tampa, but they got it done. And I was nervous the whole game. I'm like, this is Tom Brady. You can never rule Tom Brady out. But I said, how much gloating do we think I'll do on the show tomorrow? And of course everybody's like, well, yeah, there'll be a few, how about them Cowboys, you know, and things like that. But, I'm going to try and keep it professional today. But the Cowboys do roll last night. They get it done. And now the question is, did Tom Brady say goodbye to everyone or just goodbye to the Bucs? That is going to be a question that, look, we're not going to know for a while. I think it's smart. I think last year he jumped into it. He was still emotional, and he made the decision, and then he realized it was the wrong decision, and it may have cost him his marriage. But, you know, he kind of jumped into it. I thought Aaron Rodgers said it best when their season came to an end. I'm going to just take some time and take the emotion out of it. Right now is not the time to make a decision. You know, you have to give it some time. So, I don't know. But if you kind of believe some of the tea leaves, you might think that he may lean towards – just retiring and calling it a career. But one thing to pass along, the Titans in the last 2 days have lost two people because Jim Schwartz is now going to be the defensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. He's been the senior defensive assistant for the Titans for the last 2 years. Of course, a longtime DC with the Titans under Jeff Fisher. So good for Jim. I think that's a good opportunity for him to go be a DC again. I think he's a fine defensive coordinator, and so I'm glad he's getting that opportunity. And then Monty Austinfort, who'd been in the front office, is going to be named the GM of the Arizona Cardinals. So that's two people that have been on the Titans staff in one way or another, and now they're leaving. How are we doing, Michelle?
Doing good. We got a lot to talk about, Chase.
So much.
Doing good. I feel like I've mastered finally my jump from Robbie and Rex Road to here. I get here at the perfect 9 a.m. And we're ready to go. Yeah, a lot to talk about. Congratulations to your Cowboys. I knew as soon as that game, as soon as the Cowboys went up, and then I'm like, okay, halftime. Listen, we saw some great comebacks in this Super Wild Card weekend. You know, Brady. But no.
No, he's had
Cowboys
those.
Win. Even 4 missed kicks, but I do have to say, I have to give props to Dak Prescott because I thought he was going to squirm when the spotlight was on him, but he had a phenomenal performance last night, and let's hope he can keep it up because I do think the Cowboys have one of the most talented rosters in the NFL, and I'm very excited to see the way they play this weekend against the 49ers.
Yeah, I am too. I think that is going to be the really big test, obviously, for them to see, you know, to kind of see when where they match up with that. I'll tell you when I knew that they had it. And I want to say it was, I got the drive chart right here. I believe it was fourth down. Yeah, it was 4th and 1 from the 1. And they run just a perfectly executed fake. And Dak basically walks in.
Yep.
But he ran it, like he does the fake handoff, and he hesitates just enough to make the defense bite, mm-hmm. Then he just takes off. And I was like, that is a brilliant play call.
Oh, he had time back there.
Oh, yeah. He could have just stood there for a second and then walked in. I mean, because they bit. Like, it worked perfectly. You know, plays like that, we go back and we talk about, you know, some of the plays that, that the Titans ran and like, why are they, they're getting too cute? Well, in most cases, they were poorly executed. Mm-hmm. In this case, it was perfectly executed. And that's when I knew. I was like, okay, I think they may have this.
Which they should, because that roster is leaps and bounds better than the Tampa Bay Bucks roster. I know that they do have Tom Brady in it. We never really count him out when it comes to the playoffs, but this is what we've been waiting to see from the Cowboys, right? You know, they had a couple tough losses towards the end of their season. They had a chance to get the one seed. They didn't quite get it. And everybody's like, can Dak, can the Cowboys perform under the amount of pressure? I mean, they haven't won a playoff game. I don't know the year, but it's been a very long time. It was when Aikman was the quarterback, correct? It's the last time they won a playoff game?
No, I think they've won one since then. Romo won one, I think. You remember, I don't know.
I think they said that on the broadcast last night, but they haven't won a playoff game in a very long time. So, Cowboys fans, I know you are relishing in that this morning, and good for Dak, good for the Cowboys.
That can't be right.
I swear they said it on the broadcast
last night. Okay. 2019, they won wild card. They beat Seattle. So, yeah. But I think what you're getting at is I don't know if they've won a divisional round game since.
That could be correct.
That feels right. Yeah, 95. Yep.
It's a division. They haven't won a divisional.
Yeah, divisional round game.
Oh, so it'll be the test this weekend.
Yeah. Last year they lose in the wild card round to San Francisco, so this is a rematch. They beat Seattle in 19. They lose to the Rams in the divisional round. They beat Detroit in 2015, then lose to Green Bay. Gosh, they lost to Minnesota. Ooh. See, what are you doing? You're bringing up bad memories now.
Let's be in the present. Let's be in the present.
Let's keep the good juju. But we'll see. I think divisional round weekend is going to be fun in the NFL. Is you're going to have, it's the first time since 97 that you've had three teams from one division make it to the divisional round, which I think is pretty cool.
Oh, for sure. And it's funny because I was listening to some audio before the season started. I was listening to some audio of our shows before the season started on, you know, our preseason predictions and who we think is going to make the playoffs. And we're like, you know, could the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Broncos, like all these teams, the Cardinals, were like, I was so wrong on some of those, especially the Broncos. I think that probably was the biggest one with everyone. But, yeah, I mean,
that's, nobody had the NFC East.
No. Everybody's like, Washington, the Cowboys,
Washington was right there to make it. They could have had all four teams.
Listen, Ron Rivera didn't even know that they were out of the playoffs were.
Riverboat Ron. He's the best. But the question is with Brady, was this goodbye for good or was this goodbye to the Bucks? Here was the end of his press conference that might provide some clues.
I just want to say thank you guys for everything this year. I really appreciate all your effort, and I know it's hard for you guys too. It's hard for us players to make it through, and you guys got a tough job, and I appreciate all that you guys do to cover us and everyone who watches and is a big fan of the sport. We're very grateful for everyone's support, and hopefully, I love this organization. It's a great place to be, and thank you everybody for welcoming me, all you regulars, and just very grateful for the respect, and I hope I gave the same thing back to you guys. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
It's that last line. I hope I gave the same thing back to you guys. That's because, look, players will do that, and Tom has done that before. You think the media, you know, Vrabel has done that. It's the right thing to do. It's like, hey, appreciate you putting up with us this year and, you know, everything. But it was that last line that I go, ooh, okay. That could be a sign. And again, I think he's coming back. I've thought he was coming back for the entire season because this has not been a great season for him. Even though they won the division, it was a bad division. I mean, that division
it's like
could
the AFC
rival
South.
The AFC South. I don't know. I think the AFC South is probably worse, but
especially
it rivals
sure.
it. Yeah, but it rivaled it for sure. And so I don't think Tom's ego is going to let him go out like that.
Oh, no. I think.
And last night, I mean, he didn't play great. The team didn't play great. They got destroyed as funny as this may sound, I was nervous the whole time because the kicker couldn't make an extra point. I'm like, this is going to come back to bite them. And T's and P's for those that had the over, and that factored in.
Yeah. Yikes. I was very concerned that those missed field goals, and extra points, you saw the guy's face too. He's like, oh my God, I missed it again. One time he's far left, then he's far right, then he like barely misses the goalpost.
Yeah, like at what point? I mean, the first two, like your teammates, like, hey man, it's okay, we got you.
And then they started showing the faces.
And then I'm just like, they showed Dak, and Dak like mouthed something.
Oh yes, he did. He was like, what the?
Yeah, and I'm like, there comes a point where it's like, hey bro, just sit over there. We don't worry about it.
Also, Chase, really quick, the stat: the Cowboys haven't won a road playoff game.
Road playoff since '94. Okay, so that's what
since '94.
Okay, there you go.
So. I knew I was onto something. But, I mean, they got the win. They were the better team. But their kicker, they might need to look into that a little bit. Have him 100 kicks go on the practice field.
It's not good. 615-737-1025. Do you think this was goodbye for Tom Brady to the Bucs or goodbye for good? We'll discuss that and how it could fit with the Tennessee Titans. And also, yes, I see some Cowboys calls. We'll take those as well. It's Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Well, I mean, anytime you could get a chance to at least look at adding a guy like Tom Brady, what it would do for your roster, you should definitely consider it. I don't know if it's something that they should, you know, pursue all out, but it is something I think you have to at least consider. But, you know, when he comes in, that impacts the OC also, right? Because he has his offense that he runs. How is the OC that you hire going to be able to, you know, work with that? We've seen it work in at times. You know, we've seen it clash too. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
That's Teron Davenport yesterday on Caroline Willie and D-Mace talking about Tom Brady and whether he'd be a fit with the Titans or not. Saw him play last night. They lose to the Cowboys. How about the Cowboys? And then we'll see. It kind of felt like a goodbye to Tampa, at least. I think he's going to play next year. I think he's going to be with Vegas. That's honestly where I think he ends up. I think silver and black is going to be his color scheme next year. And I've already seen the pictures of him in a Vegas Raiders.
Oh, there's
uniform.
So many pictures. Him and Aaron Rodgers. I saw an Aaron Rodgers one in a Tennessee Titans jersey, Big 12 on the front. But
no shot. No shot.
Yeah, no, I don't think that. I think Aaron will be either retired or he will still be in Green Bay. But to the Brady point, quickly, Chase, you know, after listening to the audio at the end of his press conference last night, you know, I definitely think he's a mature guy, right? He's giving, you know, his thanks to everyone. He obviously was very disappointed in how they played. Tom Brady's one of the most competitive guys in the NFL, in professional sports. There is absolutely no way he doesn't come back after that loss last night, after that embarrassing loss last night. I don't care whatever people say, you know, he shouldn't come back. He's going to be 46 in August. There is no way he won't try to come back after that loss last night. That was embarrassing at home. I don't think with the Bucs. I think with another team. Maybe it will be Vegas. The Tennessee Titans have been thrown around.
That's the thing. Like, are the Tennessee Titans really being thrown around, or is it just, you know, we talked about this yesterday, or is it just, yeah, they, you know, there's a connection because he played with Vrabel, and yeah, there you go. So they're going to be, naturally, they're going to be interested.
Well, when you see it reported from an Ian Rappaport or an Adam Schefter, those guys are getting their information from somewhere. So whether it's from an agent, whether it's from Tom himself, whether it's from the organizations, whether it's from the Raiders, whether it's from the Tennessee Titans, I just don't think I could see Ian Rappaport getting up there and picking four specific teams or three. Right, it was the Raiders, the Titans, the Bucks, and who am I forgetting?
49ers.
And the 49ers. I get that there are those connections there between McDaniels, Vrabel, and the 49ers being where he's from, but I really just I can't see Ian Rappaport getting up there and saying that without anything to back it up, because he has sources, and that is where a lot of the reports come from, whether it's an agent, whether it's Tom, whether it's a one of the teams.
I wish you could have been around to hear Floyd talk about those guys.
Oh gosh, really?
Oh yeah.
Give me a little tea. What would he say?
Like, what do they know?
People drop little breadcrumbs though.
Yeah, but I mean, I think I think Ian and Schefter, they do a great job because they break a lot of news and they mm-hmm. get it. They're very, very well connected. But I think there are different categories. Like there's the hey, cold hard fact that I'm getting. There's the, well, this could happen. There's rumors. It's just that's what they do. And it could be that one of their sources said, yeah, I could see us making a phone call to Brady. And then that becomes the Titans are interested in Tom Brady.
Well, and that was my second point. And, okay, you reach out to whoever your source is within these different organizations. And what they say to you is, of course we're going to go try to get him. Why wouldn't we try to get him? And that turns into, okay, these four teams are interested in getting him. But, I mean, a lot of other teams, I'm sure, too. And you can listen, I know you think he's getting too old. A lot of people have different sides on this.
I mean, he looked old last night.
He did look old last night. Don't get me wrong. But I thought at some points he looked old 2 years ago at the end of his career with the Patriots before he got to Tampa. And then he goes and wins the Super Bowl. But could this be the end? I think he'll try to run it back. And also, even if he says he's retiring, I won't believe him until I actually see.
That's why
him
I don't think
playing.
He'll do that again. I don't think he'll make that mistake again. I think he'll just be quiet for a while.
So, Chase, heading to the text line really
quick.
Yeah,
there's a few I want to get to.
Okay, this is a no-name texter. Brady needs to hang it up. He looked terrible. I don't think there's a team with enough weapons that could have made up his performance last night. Cowboys better be ready for the 49ers defense because they're going to force Dak to win the game. And Fred Warner will shut down Schultz. That wasn't the one I was looking for. Oh, here we go. I, for one, don't see Brady coming to Tennessee, but what if the Titans offered him final say on player decisions as some form of general manager role? Do you think that would appeal to him? No name. Text us your name so we can shut you out.
Look, players don't need to decide players. Like, that's just that is my
also
hard fast rule.
Kind of like if you're a quarterback of a team or you're a Tom Brady coming to a different organization, you're gonna get guys to come with you.
Yeah,
and that's your okay. These players are, but they're gonna be players that are gonna help your team. But he's not gonna be, you know, oh, we want this guy in the draft.
No, he's gonna be like, hey, I got a couple guys I played with. They would probably follow me.
Of course.
And look, Gronk. I think I wouldn't rule that out.
I will say this. One of my best friend's moms does yoga in Nashville. And a couple months ago, she turned next door and Gronk was in her yoga
class.
He's here
a lot.
Here in East Nashville.
Yeah. He's. I don't know if he has a house here, but I know he's here a lot.
Could you imagine him in a yoga class?
Yeah, I actually could. But look, I'll use the Raiders for example. They have Darren Waller, one of the best tight ends in the league. But if Gronk's like, yeah, man, I'll run it back with you one more time in Vegas, which Gronk in Vegas, Lord help us. But then all of a sudden Darren Waller becomes, you know, potentially expendable to add even more, you know. Now, or they go, well, let's just have them both because Gronk, he's taking a year off, who knows. But no, I don't see any kind of player personnel, general manager type role for Brady. I mean, he if he comes here, he's the quarterback. But if I'm him and they do pursue, I'm going to be like, hey, Vrabes, I love you, man. But, dude, you got so many freaking holes on your team. Like, I can't do it. Like, I got to go somewhere where I can walk in and know I'm going to be in the playoffs.
Well, and that was – the Bucs kind of came out of nowhere when –
They were never on the list.
When he was leaving New England. But then you look back at it and you see all the pieces that they did have, and it was that quarterback position they were missing. So, okay, you plug in Tom Brady and they're able to go in and win a Super Bowl. But I think one of the main things on wherever Tom Brady goes or wherever he decides to sit down, in addition to, you know, a star wide receiver, one of the main things that he's going to need to be successful moving forward, he's going to need to be behind one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, because it's very,
he can't move.
It's yes. And look at the quarterbacks we have in the playoffs right now. We've got Patrick Mahomes. We've got Trevor Lawrence. We've got Josh Allen. We've got
Dak.
We've got
Hurts.
Hurts, Purdy. What can all those guys do?
Move.
They can all move. They can all run outside of the pocket. They can avoid sacks. We got Burrow. Daniel Jones. So that is the big, like, you can't just do that anymore. That used to be football, but look at where it's evolved to and look at what quarterbacks are doing nowadays. He's going to have protection if you want him to be able to perform. Because I still think he can throw the ball. He's got an arm. He's still accurate. He can still read defenses. But the guy can't move outside of the pocket like some of these young guys can.
Yeah. So I agree with that. And again, that goes back to why, if I'm him, I wouldn't even look here. I think there's too many holes for them to fill, you know. And the other part of this is, I go back to 2019 or 2020, and then I even say it now. You know, I think the Bucs came out of nowhere because the Bucs were desperate for a quarterback. I don't know if the market was as big for him as people might think it is. And I kind of think that now. Both. I mean, you can't ignore his age. That is the thing. And if I'm the Titans, I don't do it, because, again, you have too many holes that you have to fill, and a 46-year-old quarterback is not going to fix everything. Now, if he was a 36-year-old quarterback, if this was 10 years ago, that's a different story. But
what if it was 2 years ago?
I mean, I was Team Tannehill. I was running back with Tannehill.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, because of the age. So.
And then he went and won a Super Bowl.
And then he went and won a Super Bowl, which, okay, great. Good for him. And he might do it again. Look, if he does, then I want to know. I want to know what deals he's made. Like, what?
I don't know. Okay, this is like super speculation, and I don't know how you would even figure this out. But Tom Brady's odds to win a Super Bowl are probably better than more than half of the quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
You think really?
Do you think you'd have a better shot with this roster at winning a Super Bowl with Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill?
With the Titans' current roster?
Say last year's roster.
So with AJ?
With AJ.
With AJ, Brady. Okay. But that's also last year's Brady. That's the other thing. Last year's Brady and this year's Brady are two different Bradys.
Listen, I get the age. I get it.
And he wasn't right in the head. He was half the season. He was not right in the head.
Well, he had a lot of like, for the first time, you know. Well, not the first time. He's had it, you know, over the years. But a big personal story of his was the main story, right? People weren't talking about much of his football performance, but talking about his marriage. Which,
yeah.
I mean, that's tough. That mentally, emotionally is tough. That's your family. So
615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Corey, hang on for me. We'll get to you coming up next. Also, more of your texts on Tom Brady and whether this is it for him. Plus, the Titans offensive coordinator. Do we think that one candidate is a real candidate? I heard Jared talk about this yesterday. We'll discuss coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I don't know, again, if they have the personnel that he needs. He's got to have tight end, got to have an offensive line, got to have a defense, got to have a strong running game, got to have receivers. I don't know that they have all of that right now as it lands today. Now, free agency comes. They may want to spend some money, make some trades, and get that. But the relationship with his ex-teammate and Mike Vrabel, it could work out that way.
Keyshawn Johnson earlier this morning on ESPN Radio talking about Tom Brady and the potential fit with the Titans. Back here, Chase and Michelle, presented by Hair Club. Love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser here with you on a Tuesday. I know we got a lot of texts on Tom Brady, 615-737-1025.
Yes, we do.
So Keyshawn makes an interesting point. Let's go through what he named. Okay, strong run game. You got that. Yep. So you keep Derek. And look,
signed Dontrell Hilliard.
If they made this move, I'm keeping Derek Henry.
Oh, of course you are.
100% keeping Derek Henry. So you do that, and I like that. Resign Dontrell.
Resign Dontrell Hilliard.
Okay. Offensive line. They don't have an offensive line. That's the key. That's the key.
So let's look at it this way. We had Teron Davenport on last week, and we talked about the O-line. Okay. If you're going to go and get Brady, you're going to tell Ben Jones, hey, we're going to get Brady. That'll definitely play. We're going to try one more year. We're going to try to run it back. Okay, say he doesn't go into retirement. You got Ben Jones at your center.
Health is his thing.
Health is his thing. If not, Aaron Brewer, we saw him play at center a couple times earlier this year.
Yeah.
I'm just saying better.
No, I know. I know what you're saying.
You re-sign Nate Davis.
Absolutely. Because right now, if I'm being completely honest, with Ben Jones set aside, Nate Davis is your only check. You can mark that off, the offensive lineman that you have.
Then Nicholas Petit-Frere, I know only his second year, but another year at that right tackle position.
Yeah. Okay. Probably.
We saw some progression, better than we thought. You know, at the end of the year, he kind of slipped, but you think a whole nother year. Okay. So that's your right side. Andre Dillard from the Eagles. He was a name that Teron brought up.
Yeah, I like that name. He brought up Andre Dillard
in free agency, okay, to the left side at guard.
Yep.
And then you try to get Taylor Lewan back on and you can think however you want, but even a somewhat injured Taylor Lewan will be better than a Dennis Daly. But also take the draft to draft somebody at left tackle because you're going to need them for the future.
Yeah, I mean, you have to draft somebody.
Yeah, you have to. Or you go get Roger Saffold as well. That's what I was literally on one year. Because he was on 1 year, I think, $5 or $6 million at Buffalo.
$6.25 million.
Heck, even Quessenberry, who was also up there.
Yeah. If you could get Dillard or Big Raj on a team friendly
one
deal,
year, go for it.
I would do that.
Okay, so there's options for your offensive line. The next thing he mentioned, tight end. Who's the first person who we just talked about who comes to your mind?
Gronk.
Who we could get to come here.
But, I mean, you have Chig.
You have Chig.
I would love him. I would love Brady with Chig Okonkwo.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I think Brady would love Chig Okonkwo.
Well, I mean, we saw what he was able to do with the ball in his hand in his rookie year and didn't even have that many opportunities.
Yeah. So, if you had a setup of Chig Okonkwo and Gronk, sign me up. I would be totally for that.
In addition to Chig learning under one of the best tight ends in the league, mm-hmm. because these guys are probably only going to be on a 1 year deal with you all.
Oh, this is
Brady
a,
and Gronk.
Yeah.
This is a 1 year. All
you
your cards
shot.
Are on the table. Okay, so then tight end. What now? You need an explosive wide receiver.
You need and you.
And having Brady will help you be more likable to guys coming to your team.
Yeah, I mean, here's what you got to find. What did Brady make a career with? Slot receiver. You need a speedy little guy to play slot. Like he's had that his entire career, whether it's a Welker or Jules or whatever. Now, can Kyle Phillips be that? He fits the mold. If he can stay healthy. That's exactly what Brady loves, is a receiver like Kyle Phillips. It's mm-hmm. just, can he stay healthy? So, you know, that's a consideration. I think Treylon Burks takes some big steps.
I agree.
But you do have to go find some other receivers. You got to get him some help.
I think, you know, that first round pick, you could either – I think it needs to be used at one of two places, either an electric wide receiver who you think can be make a substantial impact in their first year in the league, or you get somebody on the offensive line if you aren't able to get one of the guys we just talked about in free agency.
Yeah. But again, I go back to my original
premise.
And
then look at the defense. The defense is already...
Now you need to re-sign David Long, Big Jeff...
You cut Bud Dupree, that's money.
You cut
a Robert Woods.
Cunningham. And then Tannehill's obviously the factor. Now, if you cut Tannehill, it's $18 million in dead cap. You can wait till June 1st and probably save a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But, I still wouldn't do it.
Look at that team, though. That is a different team with not as many additions.
But you're banking on a lot of what ifs. You are
with the draft, though, too.
Sure, but those are 20-something-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, but, okay, the way I look at it is if you bring Tannehill, and I thought Joe made a really good point of this earlier this morning, if you bring Tannehill and Derek back, you're in a go for it, whether you like it or not, because you're going to win too many games to tank and get a good draft pick to get a quarterback in that 2024 class.
Right.
Okay. Why don't you put all your chips in if you're in a go for it and you go get a Brady and you go try to make those moves, because technically you're already in a go for it.
I mean, I
does that make, do you know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, no, I see your point. I still, and it could be recency bias, but I mean, like that guy last night ain't going to get it done. And that's what I'm afraid you're going to get. And, you know, you would have to – that's the other part of this. You would have to make this roster a lot stronger now than you would have 3 years ago. Like if you had gone 3 years ago with this roster, that and then you add Brady, he could make this roster better 3 years ago. Whereas now you're gonna have to help him out a lot more. That's the difference that 3 years can make.
You know – I get what people are saying with that, but I think a lot of people are just seeing the age. I mean, if you put film next to each other of him 3 years ago and him today, I think a lot of people think it's this drastic difference. I'm not saying there's not any difference at all. There probably is. He's probably a little bit slower and lost his step a little bit. But I think a lot of people are seeing 46 years old. I mean, if you look at that Tampa Bay roster a couple years ago, it was significantly better.
Yeah.
Like, what can Brady look like? Like, what would Brady look like if you plugged him into an Eagles roster? He probably would look great.
He would. But he missed – I think the big thing this
and
year –
And recency bias. Everybody's commenting on the game last night, which he looked horrible last
night.
Sure.
But here's what he missed this year. He missed Gronk. I mean, Gronk, yeah. Gronk was the big key that he missed this year.
He didn't have. He had an old Julio Jones. We saw Julio here last year. Yeah, he had a Mike.
Of course he scored last night.
Yeah, of course he did. Mike Evans, my anytime touchdown. Come on, dude.
Did he practice this week? Good for him.
So, you know what I mean? It's not like he even really – yeah, he had weapons, but you put a Gronk on that team, I think it looked a lot different. And maybe an offensive line who could protect him.
Austin says, I think Brady is fine. His O-line is trash in Tampa. The coaching staff is terrible, too. Well, there you go. We'll see. We'll see. Will Tom Brady end up somewhere else? Will he retire? Will he be in the two-tone blue?
Really quick before we go to break, it's very, very interesting, and maybe it's just the specific text we're getting, but the vibe on Brady yesterday before he played Monday night versus today, a lot
different.
Of recency bias.
Oh, it's
get it. He looked bad last night.
It's completely different, that is for sure. Coming up next, we'll talk to Max Herz, pre-post host for the Nashville Predators as part of our Power Play. We'll do that next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
It's time for the Daily Power Play.
And the score! A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Sarrell.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
Back here, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Every day at 9:45. It's our Daily Power Play, and today we have a special guest. It's Max Herz. He's on the line with us, pre-post host for Nashville Predators Radio, sometimes a play-by-play guy, too. Does a fantastic job.
Wears all the hats.
Hello, Max. How are we doing?
Hey, Max.
Morning, guys. Very excited about our power play. It is not a 3-on-4 penalty kill, so I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
Those are kind of weird, as we found out yesterday.
Yes, they do. Predators went 2-1 against Calgary. Last night at Bridgestone Arena, they snapped the three-game skid Roman Josi, Juuso Parsonen in the goal scorers, and they got all that done in the first period. And then Calgary would score in the second period, and that'd be it. And that's how the game would go. Juuse Saros with another fantastic outing. But let's start with Parsonen. You and I have talked about him when we've done the hits on the pregame show. 5 goals now. He's on a tear when it comes to points. It really feels like that this kid has found his spot on this team and in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, and as he has such a great month, it excites me to think a little more long-term about Juuse Parsonen. And the points are good in the sense that maybe if the team secures a playoff spot on the earlier side, we can start pushing Parsonen for some Calder votes this year. And then down the road, I really think he is a potential Selke Trophy candidate for best defensive forward in the NHL over the course of what we hope is a very long career. With all the things he's done to drive possession, to lead forechecks, to stifle possession for the other team, to join plays, he's just so fun to watch in every single aspect of the game. And his mistakes are rare, but he covers them up when he does. Everything he does is so impressive. The league does not appear to be speeding up on him at all or figuring him out or anything like that. Every single move he's making and every single part of the ice is going well. And I think once he becomes a full NHLer and starts killing penalties as well, which is something he did both in the AHL and in Finland and was a big part of his game, I think he's a guy who'll be a candidate for Selkies.
What does it mean, though, to, you know, because right now he's playing top-line minutes, and, I mean, he's appearing to be a top-six center, which is something that this organization has coveted since their beginning. And David Poile's been able to find those guys, but it's been through the trade market or free agency. The fact that they've been able to draft potentially a top-tier center like Parsonen, that's going to go a long way, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I would love to go deeper with some of the Preds front office into that draft where he was selected. 7th round pick in 2019. And at that point, he had played a very, very brief part of the season in the top Finnish league. And I just don't know if anybody else saw him or anybody else had enough on him. And his dad played in the NHL, but that was very brief, just part of one season. So he wasn't a super well-known commodity, I don't think. And honestly, he was probably a top candidate, since he got through to the 7th round, to not get drafted in the first draft he was eligible in, and then come back and try it again next year, which a lot of European players have to do just because they don't get seen the first time around. So I'd be curious to talk with some of the scouts, the Preds European scouts and front office here stateside, about where they had him on their board. He doesn't go, does nobody take him? Things like that, because obviously once he gets to his NHL potential, he's no longer a 7th round caliber player. But that happens with a lot of players, both American players too. That's what happens when you have to take them when they're 18. But it's a great draft pick by them. It's draft and develop, and it's not like they weren't in contact with him the whole time that he was playing in the Finnish league the last 3 seasons. And they made the move to bring him over to Milwaukee for the playoffs last year. And just like we've talked about with Yaroslav Askarov, obviously in a different situation, but in a different situation, that's where you start his development. You get him going in the spring. You're on his mind all summer. The things that you've given to him are on the front of his mind because he wants to be in the NHL this fall. And even though he didn't make the team right out of camp this preseason, I think that really helped.
Yeah, this team really knows how to finish drafts, if you know what I mean. I mean, late-round picks from Finnish players seem to work out for them. Just saying.
I don't get it.
Well, Pekka Rinne was an 8th rounder.
No. He gets it, Chase.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. I'm just making sure everybody gets it. Yeah, I deserve that. Max Herz is with us, pre- and post-host for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Speaking of Finnish guys, Juuse Saros continues to be on a tear, 8-2 in his last 10 starts. Does it again last night. Now, I liked the on the road trip, we were seeing the run support. Last night was a low-scoring game. You got to have those. You got to win those. But Saros, to me, has shown that he deserves to be in the Vezina conversation again, and he is the reason this team is in the spot they're in.
Yeah, and to switch baseball references from run support, UC Saros is the closer. When the Predators start the third period with a lead, Jay Levin, who does a lot of stats for Preds TV and a whole lot of sports here in Nashville, sent me this. When the Preds enter the third period with a lead this season in games where UC Saros is the goalie, they get over 92% of the possible standings points in that game, which is really, really good. And his goals against average is less than one goal per third period and a save percentage of almost .940. And that includes the perfect 21-for-21 stopping shots in the third period yesterday. So he has been at his best this season in the third period with a lead. And that's when the Preds seemed to be their best. Shots were 21-5 in the third period yesterday. Seemed like the Preds had the puck a lot, but the shots just went the other team's way. That's what happens when you're playing a desperate team and you give them some power plays and you're up a goal in the third. And Saros was as good as usual. The one goal that got kicked in behind him, he knew immediately it was a kick, even though I honestly don't think anybody else on the ice really saw that live. He was signaling immediately, kick puck, kick puck. And the goal got called back.
We got Max Herz on with us, host the pre and post game for the Nashville Predators. You can also hear him play-by-play on the road. Max, tonight Kevin Lankinen will be in goal. They have the rescheduled game with the Columbus Blue Jackets. How important is it for this Preds team to be able to stack wins as we're more than halfway through the season? You know, we saw it early in the road trip, and then they kind of fell off at the end. How important is it to get this win over Columbus tonight?
Yeah, Michelle, they really, really needed that win last night, like in the biggest way possible. And because they won it, you can almost say they need this one more against a bad team in the Jackets that Lankinen played against way back at the beginning of the season in October. That was one of the games in the six-game losing streak coming back from Europe. Preds should have won that game. They lost it 5-3. This will be the only other time they played them this year. Jackets are second to last in the NHL. They nearly got shut out last night, lost to the Rangers at home. This is a team that the Predators really need to take care of tonight. Predators are decidedly the better team in this matchup. And I'm looking forward to seeing Lankinen back in there because he's been a reliable backup for the Preds this year. And he had to miss his second start on the road trip last week because he was sick when Yaroslav Askarov came up for him. And that was, of course, a special day because we were all happy to see Yaroslav Askarov debut and get the full Askarov experience, dancing around in goal, playing the puck, doing all the fun stuff that he does in an NHL game for the first time. But you got to think about Kevin Lankinen through that. He missed a start. He missed a shift at his job. He missed a shift of what he's here to do. And all of that was after he was in goal and beat the Capitals in his last start earlier in the road trip in a one-goal game. He kept it close, kept it tied, and the Preds won it for him with under 4 minutes left in the game. So, you know, Lanky is ready to get in there tonight, and not only because he missed that game last week, but also against a team that beat him and his crew earlier this year.
Also, Max, quickly before we let you go, obviously the All-Star break is coming up, and then we've got the trade deadline. Do you think you could see the Preds making a big move before the deadline?
I'm not sure about a big move, but there is one player, and this is not based off of anybody saying anything to me, but there's one player that I think is affordable that I know is for sale based on what team he's on that I would love to play for the Preds, and that's Andre Kuzmenko from the Vancouver Canucks, who's in his first year in the NHL. He's having a great year, came over from Russia. Elliot said to you guys, Chase, in the summer, Elliot Friedman did, that the Preds were apparently involved in him, at least in some way, shape, and form, when he was initially posted as an NHL free agent. He is under $1 million cap hit, and the dude is electric to watch. I think he would be a fun pickup, but again, that is just based off of me thinking that he is a fun player to watch and wanting him to play here.
Yeah, for sure. Max, great stuff as always. We'll be listening tonight starting at 6 o'clock with the pregame show, but appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Max.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. Thanks, Jay. See you guys.
That is Max Herz. Also has done a tremendous job helping out with Pete Weber on the sidelines for the road trips and does pre and post. Predators back in action tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets with coverage beginning at 6. Coming up next, what remaining playoff teams in the NFL scare you the most? We'll discuss that and look ahead to the divisional round. That's all next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.